Welcome to the Representing Rural podcast. This is Candace Williams, and today we have Kristen Higgins from the Cooperative Extension. Hi, Kristen.
Hi.
How are you?
Doing all right today. How about yourself? Thanks for talking to me.
Thank you for joining us, especially with this very important topic of discussing or giving information on the current ballot measures that all of us will be seeing or we have seen when voting during this election time. So Kristen, could you tell everyone your position and what you do at the Extension?
Sure. My position is called Program Associate, and that doesn't really tell anybody about anything that I do. But that's the title I have for the work that I do at the Public Policy Center, which is part of the University of Arkansas System Division of Agriculture, which a lot of people know as the Cooperative Extension Service.
Thank you, Kristen. So we'll just cut to the chase. So issue one, if someone votes yes on issue, well, first of all, what's the title on the ballot for issue one?
Well, so for each ballot issue, there's something called the popular name and then the ballot title. And none of those are like single words. So they're like sentences. Mm-hmm. So I can't rattle off the entire title to you. But so issue one is one of three proposed constitutional amendments from the legislature. And what it would do is it would make permanent half-cent sales tax that Arkansans currently pay that funds work for state, county, and city road and bridge work. And so a for vote would be that you want the sales tax to be in place to help raise funds for roads and bridges across the state. And an against vote would be that you don't want the sales tax in place. Okay. And just to give you a bit more, information on that, right now we pay a half cent sales tax for roads across the state that is also, again, split with counties and cities. And voters approved that tax back in 2012, but that was a mm-hmm. temporary tax. So it's set to expire in June 2023. And issue one asks voters to approve a permanent sales tax that would take effect in July 2023. So there would be like a seamless transition between the two taxes that would effectively do the same thing.
Okay. So, unless you've been on a rock, under a rock, you hadn't missed the controversy around this one, around this ballot issue. So for rural people, I know, especially in my part of the state, in the Delta region of the state, who may feel like our roads aren't getting any of their funding, would you be able to, I know you just mentioned that it does go to county roads and bridges and city streets and everything. Is there a formula for how those funds are allocated?
Yes, there would be. And it would match essentially what is currently allocated with the existing half cent sales tax. And so first thing I would urge people, if they have the ability to go to our website, uaex.edu/ballot, and download our voter guide that goes into a lot more details than we can today about these issues. And so it'll give people a little bit more information about the proposed sales tax and existing sales tax in the state. So the proposal would have the majority of the funds, 70%, go to the state, and then 15% would go to counties and 15% would go to cities. And so for each county and city, you know, that would be in a different amount it's based on a different parameter. So, you know, a city and a county wouldn't exactly get the same exact dollar figure, but so they're getting this money right now. And so they have this money in their budgets, their road budgets right now. What supporters are saying, okay, well, if this doesn't pass, then the counties across the state, no matter where they are, would have to come up with that additional funds or deal with the shortfall of the tax expiring. And then opponents are saying, this tax doesn't do enough for public transportation, or there's concerns that the majority of the state funding might be spent in, you know, in ways that they're not happy with. So there's different reasons for supporters and opponents on their thoughts on this.
Okay. So a yes vote would be making the tax permanent that we already pay. A no vote would be saying, okay, I don't approve of this and our current tax will sunset or end in 2023.
Right. So yeah. And so we, in Arkansas, we vote for and against. So yeah, I a lot also say yes vote or no vote, but it's a for vote or an against vote. But yes.
Okay. Thank you for clarifying.
Surprises it. Sure.
Thank you. Thank you.
Don't want people to be surprised when
right.
they
right. Don't want them to go and say, oh, I was looking for yes. Thank you. So for. So four is making it permanent, and no, I mean, against is agreeing that, okay, we're done with this. Right. So, all right, moving on to issue two, which is the term limits, right?
Yes. Yeah. So okay. This one, even though it has a longer ballot title and a longer popular name, this one was given a nickname called the Arkansas Term Limits Amendment. And this one is from the legislature. And what it would do is it would change existing term limits in Arkansas. Right now, our state lawmakers can serve up to 16 years over their lifetime. You know, of course, only if they're reelected. But then once they hit that 16 years, that's it. They're done. We have what we call lifetime term limits. So once they hit those 16 years, they are no longer eligible ever, ever, ever again to run for office. So what issue two would do is it would do away with that lifetime limit. And instead of a lifetime limit, it would say legislators could serve up to 12 years in a row. And then if they wanted to continue serving, they would have to actually take a break, a 4-year break before they could serve again. And of course, that too is reliant upon them being elected again.
Wow. So currently the limit is 16 years collectively, Senate, House, but with issue two, you said that it would just a 4-year break in between. And then they could start over?
Yeah, so they could start up to 12 years and then they would sit out and take a break. And they, you know, it's important for people to know it's not a 4-year break before they could run for re-election. It's 4-year break before they could serve in office again. So okay. Theoretically, you know, they could run, you know, start running for re-election around 3 years and have that campaign. And if they're re-elected, then they could take office once 4 years passes.
Okay. So for vote is voting for this new proposal of letting them have more than 16 years. Against is keeping the 16-year term limit.
Correct. Yeah. For right. to end that lifetime limit and try out this new this new method. And then against is keep it in what we have in place.
Do you know what others will? Is there like a trend with other states, what they're doing as far as term limits are concerned?
Yeah. So, you know, Arkansas is one of a handful of states that has term limits. Okay. And then amongst the states that have term limits, we're one that has some of the strictest because when I say strict, it means more so that people see that lifetime limit as strict. And then if you go back in history up until 2014, we had in place, lawmakers could serve only so many years in the Senate and so many years mm-hmm. in the House. And so we had like the strictest term limits possible. And then in 2014, voters changed it to allow the up to 16 years in whatever way lawmakers mm-hmm. wanted to run. But we still had that lifetime limit. So we are one of a very few with lifetime limits. The majority of states with term limits have something like what issue two proposes, where they call it consecutive limits. So that is more the trend among states that have them.
Okay, so we're moving to, I guess, more standard for these days.
More similar, yeah. Similar to the other states.
Okay.
So, yeah, there's not many with lifetime limits for state legislators.
Okay. Well, that's good to know. All right, on to issue three.
So this is another long one.
All right.
There's not like an easy name to give you, like the term limit one. I can say, oh, that's the Arkansas Term Limits Amendment.
Right.
Issue three proposes several things about the ballot issue process itself. And, you know, I don't know if people realize this, but Arkansas is one of 15 states that has the ability for citizens to refer a constitutional amendment, state law, or referendum to voters to decide, in addition to, you know, the legislators being able to do that. And we're actually coming up on the 100th year of voters being able to do this. So we've got this long history of what we call direct democracy, the citizen initiative process. And issue three would make some changes to this process. It would make some changes on the citizen side as well as the legislative side. So for legislators, mm-hmm. what issue three would do is it would say that they would need more votes in the Senate and the House to put something on the ballot for voters to decide. They would need 12 more votes combined from the two chambers to put something out there. And then it would also say that the ballot titles would no longer have to be published in a newspaper for 6 months ahead of an election. And instead it would have to be published in a newspaper as prescribed by law. And so it's a general statement there that the legislature would be able to come back and flesh out, well, what are the publication requirements now wow. for the legislative ballot titles? So for the citizen initiative side, and this is where you're hearing a lot more about the issue, it would increase the number of counties where ballot issue groups would have to go and collect signatures from voters to qualify their proposal for the ballot. And right now they have to collect a certain number of signatures from at least 15 of Arkansas's 75 counties. And issue three proposes to make it 45 of Arkansas's 75 counties. So that's a big jump there.
Yes.
And in addition to that, there would be an earlier deadline to turn in voter signatures. Right now it's in July, and issue three would put that back in January. And it would set a deadline for when people could file lawsuits challenging citizen initiative proposals. Right now, there's not a deadline. This would set an April 15th deadline. And then one of the other big things that this would do, and this would affect state proposals as well as county and city ballot proposals, is it would eliminate what we call a cure period. And that's extra time that a citizen group has to go out and collect more signatures after they turn in their initial batch of voter signatures.
Wow.
So for example, you know, they've got, for a state constitutional amendment, they've got to collect 89,151 signatures this year. So if they collect, you know, 92,000 and they go turn that in to the Secretary of State's office, then they most likely can qualify for an additional 30 days to go get more signatures. And the reason why we call it a cure period is, you know, people are silly. So someone might sign a petition as Mickey Mouse or use a fake name. Or maybe their writing isn't readable. You can't, like, who signed this? I can't read this. And so when you get those types of signatures, they get struck from, you know, they don't qualify. They get discounted because only people who are registered voters, only their signatures count. Mm-hmm. And so this would do away with that cure period, as I mentioned, for the state level, as well as the county and city ballot issues. So that's a lot of stuff rolled up in there.
That is a lot. I don't think people understand, like, it not only affects, like, when we're trying to do something statewide, but it goes down to the city level. So, I mean, that's a lot. That is a lot. And
that's why we publish a voter guide on the statewide ballot issues. And we've been doing that since 2004. And it's a source of neutral information. You know, we're not telling people how to vote. We're not saying this is the right way or this is the wrong way. We're just saying, here's what you're being asked.
Yeah.
And here's some answers to some questions so you can decide. Because, you know, when you go vote, you see a ballot title and a popular name, and that is it. And it might be very short or it might be long, but behind every ballot title, there are several pages of law changes that you don't see, that you'd have to go and look at the actual bill that the legislature passed, or look at the language that a citizen group might have turned in to the Secretary of State's office. So you don't see all that. You just see the name and the title.
You don't see all the stuff that goes on behind.
Right.
Wow. Like I didn't realize it, that it was affecting like city and countywide, like ballot initiatives. I didn't realize that. So
Yeah. And that's the only part of it. There's just the one piece of issue 3 that is would affect county and city. The rest is only for the statewide process.
Wow. I'm so glad I had you on today. Oh my goodness. I feel like I need to take a class under you after this, or you come and talk to our youth network via Zoom or something.
Yeah, I'd love to.
Okay.
This is a year-round process. Because there's a lot of stuff that goes on that, I mean, you just don't have time to pay attention to this. And then, ooh, it's election day. Well, you know, here's a resource that you can use to answer some questions.
Well, we very much so appreciate you all for doing that voter's guide for, you said, since 14?
Since 2004, yeah. So we've been doing it, and people can download it off the website or go to their county extension office and pick up a printed copy.
Thank you so much for that. So we have one more that you told me information about last week that I didn't realize as well. So we have issue 6. That's on the ballot. Could you tell us a little bit about that and what for and against would mean for it?
Yeah, so issue 6 might show up on your ballot, but votes cast for or against will not count. Oh, sorry, there goes the dog back there. So votes cast on issue 6 will not be counted. The Arkansas Supreme Court said that the issue did not qualify for the ballot. And what issue 6 was is a referendum. Again, going back to, you know, one of the different things that citizen groups can propose, the referendum was asking voters if they wanted to keep a state law or get rid of a state law that legislators passed last year that expanded the number of procedures that optometrists could perform, some using some surgical procedures. And it was a very controversial issue when it was at the legislature in spring 2019. You had a bunch of optometrists show up to support it. You had a bunch of ophthalmologists show up to oppose it. And there was a big campaign. The ophthalmologists went around and collected signatures to get it on the ballot. And then, you know, it looked like it was going to be there. But then there were issues, paperwork issues with the canvassers who collected the signatures. They had background checks done, but there's a lot of layers of requirements about if you have to do. And they turned out that they didn't use the right language in telling the Secretary of State that the background checks had been completed and that they had passed them. So the court said, yep, you didn't use the right wording. So off the ballot.
Wow. So that bill or that act that passed last year, it stands, it's a law that allows optometrists to do certain surgical procedures, correct?
Correct. Yeah. So it expanded the number of procedures that they could do because state law from state to state says what an optometrist can do. And in Arkansas, it expanded the number of procedures. So now Arkansas is, I believe, the 5th state that allows some extra procedures using some surgeries, some lasers for surgeries. But, you know, optometrists say that they're trained to do the work. Ophthalmologists were saying, you know, don't approve this law because ophthalmologists are medical doctors and optometrists aren't. But the optometrists are saying they're trained and they can do it.
It'll be interesting to see all this play out. So do you know if it's officially law now, right?
Yes, it is in effect now.
So have optometrists started operating or doing these procedures, or do you know?
I don't know, because part of the law said that the state had to set up a procedure for optometrists to get certified by the board that oversees them that would allow them then to do the procedures. And it was disqualified from the ballot within the last month. So I don't know if that groundwork has been done yet.
Whew. So it'll probably be a while before they can start practicing in that manner. But
and if people want to know what those procedures are, they could, you know, it's in our voter guide. We had the information on all of the proposed ballot issues that looked like they were going to be on the ballot. You know, we had the three from the citizens, three from the citizen route, and three from the legislature. And the three ones from the citizens were disqualified by the Supreme Court. But you can still go to our voter guide and find the information in there, because you know, we went to publish it before the court. You know, we couldn't wait for the court to make decisions, because they normally rule, you know, October, and voting was just about to start. So, but you can go see what those procedures are to get a better idea, like a layman's term of what those additional procedures and surgeries are.
And thank you. And I'll be sure to include a link to the voter's guide in the podcast description, as well as put it out, like make sure we have it on our social media pages, because it is an awesome resource that that just states the facts of what each issue means, not going for or against, not, you know, picking a side, but just stating the facts of what each vote means. Yeah, and again, we really appreciate you all for doing that.
I appreciate that. And share that link. It's at uaex.edu/ballot. That's the short link. You know, if you go to our website, there's a really long, long, long website link. Don't share that one. That confuses people. So uaex.edu/ballot.
All righty. Well, thank you, Kristen. And I look forward to having another meeting or sit down with you so I can learn so much more about all that you do.
Yeah. Anytime. Just give me a call or send me an email now that my email's working.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Have a good day.
It is now time for our RCA Rural Arkansas Power Moves. So the first Rural Arkansas Power Move today is to go ahead and get out there and early vote. If you feel compelled to wait until Election Day next Tuesday, then, you know, just make sure you plan to be as safe and take care of yourself while doing so. If you early vote, the same thing. Because from my understanding, like a record number of people have already participated in early voting in Arkansas and across the country. So whatever you do, just make sure you practice all the CDC guidelines to keep yourself and others safe. Along with this podcast, as Kristen mentioned, there's a great resource that the Extension has offered since 2004, breaking down or giving information on ballot measures, on things concerning like our election. Unbiased opinion, just simple facts of what a for vote means and what an against vote means. So in the meantime, check that out if you haven't already voted. If you have, it's just great to have that kind of resource in tow. So early voting, go ahead and get it done. We're a week and a day away from Election Day. So go ahead and make sure you practice that right and privilege to vote. Our second Rural Arkansas Power Move would be our Step Up for Literacy. That ends on Saturday. If you all haven't already participated, we very much so would love for you all to do so. Usually every October we have some kind of Step Up for public education event. We weren't able to do the walk that we normally do. So we turned October into Step Up for Literacy Month. And we have a reading challenge going on, and challenging everybody to read at least 25 minutes a day. We have everybody can participate, 0 to 100. You just simply have to email rca@thenewrule.org. The amount of time you spent reading, the books you were able to read, in which category you are entering in, whether adult or the other categories by grade levels. So yeah, if you haven't already, we're ending it on Saturday, and we want to end with the bang. And whoever wins each category, you get some cool Step Up for Literacy swag and a Goodreads gift card. So awesome things right there. And our last RCA Rural Arkansas Power Move would be Our pitch competition is coming up next month in November. In order to participate, you have to complete a Google form by November the 6th, uploading a 2-minute video describing your pitch, your idea. So if you're interested in that as well, you can contact us or entering and participating on all of our social media platforms. The flyer has been posted. So, and that gives more information. But in case you're not connected to our social media, you can just email us at rca@thenewrule.org. That's rca@thenewrule.org. And there I'll be able to directly send you the flyer, or if there are any other questions you may have, I'll be able to answer them regarding the competition. But we're so excited. This is our first rural pitch competition, and we have 3 judges confirmed for our panel. One being Tiffany Henry, who was our guest last week or week before last from The Conductor. The next is Jeremy Hyde from Hydeco, and Dr. Karama Neal with Southern Bancorp Partners. And we're very excited about this panel and to get some of our rural entrepreneurs out in the forefront, some of their ideas. So we're very excited about that. But if you are interested in participating, you can just send us an email at rca@thenewrule.org. We have a youth and an adult category. But so, yeah, you have an idea, go ahead and participate and join us. That's all we have for this week. Until next time, you all take care.